our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who has made it possible that we can gather together in such a way as this. I really appreciate that, all the songs, but this last one, especially, it took me back to Mexico. I knew it in Spanish, but very seldom to ever hear it in English, and it's just a wonderful hymn speaking of the love of God. And yes, we serve an almighty God, and we're so thankful for all the provisions that he has made for us. I also want to bring greetings from our congregation in Virginia. It's not as large a congregation as what you have here, but we enjoy warm fellowship, and we just rejoice in the Lord that wherever we go, we can find those of like precious faith, where we can worship the Lord together. I certainly covet your prayers this week. I certainly want to preach the truth of God's Word. You know, the truth is what will set men free. My thoughts, my own ideas, my own opinions don't amount to anything, but the Word of God is, this is the eternal Word of God. It's forever settled in heaven, and I think it's so important that as we handle the Word of God, that we handle it with reverence. It is God speaking to us through his written Word. This evening, the beginning of a series of meetings, I thought we would think of God, his almighty power. And I know when we think of such a subject as this, that we cannot even begin to scratch the surface. But God, the God of heaven and earth, is the true God, the only true God. Yes, there's many gods in this world, but there is one true and living God, and that is the eternal God that created heaven and earth. And then we also want to, after thinking of some of his power, we want to think what this means to us today, and some of the results of knowing God and his almighty power. There is no other power anywhere that comes close to equaling the power of God. There's just no comparison. You know, we compare trucks and tractors and how much power this has and how much power that. But with God, we just don't find anything or anyone to compare to the Almighty God. He stands alone. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, the apostle says here, "For the invisible things of him, from God, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." Even his eternal power and Godhead. Now, that word eternal goes way beyond our ability to understand. To think that in ages past, way back there before the creation of the world, God existed. And to think of the fact that he forever will exist. His eternal power and Godhead. I want to turn to Hebrews 1, read verses 1 through 3. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, And now notice, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down the right hand of the majesty on high. That the phrase here, and upholding all things by the word of his power. You know, God is so powerful that just by speaking the word, things happen. God brought this universe and everything that we see and what we don't see into existence by the power of his word. If we go back to Genesis 1, we see where it says that, and God said, and it was so. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And so it was all the way down through the creation until he came to man. And it says that he formed him out of the dust of the earth. But God, by the word of his power, he created all this. And I don't know if you've ever had Brother Morris Yoder from Montezuma, Georgia, come to give his presentation. If you have the opportunity to get him to come, you should do it. The more he went into that presentation of the universe, the galaxies and the planets, everything that I didn't even know existed. I told my brother Sim, I said, you know what, Sim? It made me feel smaller and smaller, and God just bigger and bigger, just greater and greater. Well, it's so much out there that we don't see with our natural eyes, that it's just almost, well, it is beyond my comprehension. Maybe you could, but I can't. But by speaking the word, this came into existence. Brothers and sisters, we serve the Almighty God, the God that is all powerful. And I'm so thankful for that this evening. In Job 37 and verse 32, Elihu said, touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power. We cannot find him out. He's beyond the limits of our finite minds. He is excellent in power. And we want to go to the book of Psalms. I want to read Psalm 65. And go into Psalm 66, the first part of verse 7. In these verses, we see something of the mighty power of God in his creation, how he sustains life. We'll read these verses. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquity shall prevail against me. As for our transgressions, they shall purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are far off upon the sea, which by his strength settest fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. He ruleth by his power forever. As we go back into Psalm 65, verse 9 says, thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Then in verse 10 says, thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. You know, from what I'm hearing, I think y'all had a lot of rain here this summer also, at least part of the year, part of the summer. And toward fall, we had 11 days of just plenty of rain. I think we had a total of like 7 inches. Have you ever stopped to consider what kind of tonnage of water floats over our head during a time like that? Maybe what makes me so aware of it is that when we lived in Mexico, we had to irrigate whatever. If we wanted to raise a corn or crop, we had to irrigate it basically all the way through. And that meant pumping a lot of water. And when you think of 1 inch of water on a 1 acre of ground, it takes like 27,000 gallons, and that's just 1 acre. And so there in Amelia County, when we had 7 inches of rain in 11 days, Amelia has 366 square miles to it. And this, just remember, this is only one county, and I don't know how much area that storm covered. But think of 234,240 acres, and for every inch, it's 27,000 gallons per acre. So in those 7 inches of rain that God left fall drop by drop in his power, he left it, thankfully, drop by drop. There was over 190 million tons of water fell on one county. You know, when we pour water out of a pitcher, it just flows out. But not with God. God is all powerful. And in his mercy, he allows it to come down in a way that preserves life. He waters the ridges of the ground and makes it to produce for mankind. That's just an illustration of the power of God, that it's humbling when we stop to think of the fact that, you know, we serve such a God as this, and to think of how weak and needy we are, that yet God loves us, and by the word of his power, he is maintaining and sustaining this vast universe that he created. And we can have the confidence that he will continue to do so till he brings an end to it. Now, over in the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 10, first part of verse 10 says, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. He is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. Now we drop down to verses 12 and 13. It says, he hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. So he hath made the earth by his power and established it by his wisdom. Chapter 32 of Jeremiah. In verse 17, it says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. There is nothing too hard for thee." There is nothing too hard for thee. No, because he's the Almighty God. He is, there's no limit to his power. So there is nothing that is too hard for him. When the Lord met Abraham back in the book of Genesis, God promised Abraham that he would give him a son in his old age, son of promise. And Abraham, I believe, could hardly fathom this. It says that Sarah laughed. But he asked Abraham the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is very obvious. No, it's not. Because we serve, because God is the Almighty God, the everlasting God. He's the creator of all things. And we could go to Psalm 139. I believe we will take time to look at some of these verses. Read the first 12 verses here. Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall shine. Even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. You know, to the Christian, this message speaks of what gives us assurance, it gives us confidence, it gives us hope. But to the sinner that is trying to hide things in his life, it makes them fearful. It should. Because God knows everything. He's the Almighty God. The darkness and the light are the same to God, because God knows everything, and He can see everything. He knows even our thoughts before they enter our mind. So we do have wonderful privilege of serving the Almighty God. You know, if we had to serve Allah or whatever the Muslims call their God, it would be so disheartening to know that their prophet is in the grave. He died and was buried, and his remains are still there. We serve the Almighty God, and Christ, yes, he died, but he arose again and paid the price of our redemption there with his own blood. And now we have the privilege of serving this God. Second Peter 3 speaks of how by the word of God the flood came upon the earth in the days of Noah. By the word of God. And you know, I don't believe we have ever experienced anything like what took place there, and I don't believe it will ever happen again, because God said he'll never destroy the earth by a flood again. Next time will be by fire. But can you imagine the rain pouring down from heaven and the fountains of the deep breaking loose and the water just gushing out. But you know what? In verse 7 there in 2 Peter 3, it says, By the same word, judgment will fall on this earth again. By the power of God's word, he will judge the world. The judgment day is coming. And we know it will take place because God said it will. Now, what does all this mean to us in our walk with God? Let's turn to John 10, St. John chapter 10. I want to read verses 27 through 29. Jesus said, "Hear my sheep, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." So we notice a couple different things here. First off is that because of the power of God, he was able to redeem lost mankind through the sacrifice of his own son. Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life," to his sheep, to his followers. And he goes on to say, "And they shall never perish." Well, don't we face an enemy? Don't we face difficult things? But you know, brothers and sisters, as we give ourselves over to this Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, we can have the assurance that we can be faithful if we are willing to follow Him. He goes on to say, "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Brothers and sisters, these are wonderful promises that we have from God Himself. That as we face the enemy of our souls, that we can come to God. And in our Sunday school lessons, we've been studying about the better covenant, better sacrifice, and so on. And as we meet the enemy, the devil himself, we can be assured of victory as we yield ourselves completely to God. The power is there to keep us. Now we turn over to chapter 17 here in the book of John. We recognize this as the high priestly prayer of Christ. And we want to notice how Jesus talks here of us being kept and how we also have something to keep. Begin reading at verse 6 and reading through verse 24. Jesus says here, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou gavest, hast given me, are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. Pray not for the world, but for them which thou gavest me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and that the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. We'll leave off reading there. So Jesus was praying to his Father. He says, Father, I will that you keep them from the evil which is in the world. And brothers and sisters, God is well able to keep us if we're willing to be kept. Also, we notice that Jesus said in verse 6 that they have kept thy word. So if we want God to keep us, we must keep his word. We must live in obedience to him. And you know, as we think of the commandments that God has given us, the Almighty God, the all-knowing God, God knows exactly what is best for us. And so in his mercy and in his love, he gave us his word with commandments. And it's like the Apostle John wrote in 2 John, I believe it is, where he says that his commandments are not grievous. The commandments of God are for our eternal good. And I think it's so important that we understand that, and that we find joy and pleasure in obeying the commandments of God. Now, we don't see everything spelled out in the word, just how we're to do everything. But you know, in God's faithfulness, he gave us the church. And here we as brethren can decide how we're making applications to the scriptures. We have the ministry and the lay members, and we all work together to understand God's will. You know, that's such a blessing that we can do that with the aid of the Holy Spirit, that God reveals himself to us. And I believe that a real love for and obedience to God's word is an absolute must if we expect God's keeping power to be active in our experience. It's an absolute must. In Psalm 42, it speaks there of the first two verses of how the heart panteth after the water brooks. It says, so his soul panted after the living God. Shortly after we moved back up from Mexico, the boys and I were doing some work on our chicken houses, and all of a sudden I was attracted to a noise I heard and looked around, and there was a deer that a hound was chasing. It's amazing how a hound dog can run for mile after mile and wear down a deer. You know, we think of a deer as an animal that can run for long distances. Well, they have a lot of speed for short distance anyways, but he was drooling at the mouth, and he could hardly go anymore. And finally he turned around and just met the dog head on. But My mind went to these verses, how that is the heart panteth for the water brooks. And you know, brothers and sisters, we have an enemy that will chase us down. If we just run from him, he'll chase us down. We need to face the enemy by the power of God. We need to feed on the Word of God so that we have strength to meet the enemy. But how is my thirst for the water of eternal life? How is my hunger for the Word of God, the meat of God's Word? Do I do as says in Psalm 1, verse 2, where it speaks about the righteous man? It says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate once in a while? No, day and night. Yes, that's right. In his law, in the law of God, does he meditate day and night? You know, I know we have our jobs and we need to think of what we're doing. We need to work in a way that is good and right, is pleasing to God. But you know, God needs to be in our thoughts even as we do our work. And we're doing our work for his glory, for his praise. When we get up in the morning, where do our thoughts go to? Is it toward the Almighty God, the God of heaven and earth? It surely should. Yes, God needs to be foremost in our thoughts. We need to delight in his word. I believe that our love for God is measured by our love for his word and by our obedience to the commandments we find in his word. Verse 11 in John 17 says, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. Keep them. Jesus knew that his time on earth was short. He would soon be crucified. His desire was that God would keep those that had followed him. Verse 12, he says, I kept them in thy name. You know, brothers and sisters, our security is in the almighty power of our God. If we go away from God, the enemy surely will take over. We are living in this earth where sin abounds. The devil has not been bound yet, like I believe that he will be bound. I am very thankful that he is limited in what he can do because of the power of God. But we're in a battle. We're on a battlefield here. And it is so important that we live in such a way that God can keep us true and faithful to him. The world offers many things. The devil is very, very cunning. He offers many things that look attractive. You know, we sometimes go, oh, you know, why does the church seem so strict? Why do they put such regulations on us? Well, you know what? We're interested in making it to glory, and there shouldn't be anything that would, any price that we might be asked to pay that will help us to on to glory. We should be ready to pay that price. We'll never pay. We could never have paid for our salvation. If we can do things that help keep us on the narrow way, I believe God expects us to do that. As God sees that we're willing to follow him and say no to these things of the world that maybe we can't say they're wrong in themselves, but the direction that it could that they might take us. If we're willing to say no to those things and follow him, God will be faithful in keeping us. 2 Peter chapter 1. I just want to notice what Peter says here. Beginning at verse 2 and reading through verse 4. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." I'm so thankful this evening, brothers and sisters, for the divine power of God. That through his divine power, we can be partakers of his divine nature. If it wasn't for that divine power, we could never be partakers of a divine nature. So we have much to thank God for this evening. That we can experience his divine power. That we can be made new creatures in Christ Jesus, like it speaks of in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. We're now new creatures in Christ, and we've been made partakers of his divine nature. And we've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But you know, as we go on in this battle, we must stay close to the Almighty God, or we will fall prey to the snares of the devil. You know, the fads and fashions of this world, the hairdos of this world, they should not have any appeal to us as Christians. They just shouldn't. We've been crucified. We've crucified our flesh by God's power. That old nature must be put to death. You know, if we're to have that divine nature, and by that divine power of God, we must crucify self, the things that self wants, and allow that divine nature to guide us in the path of God, the Almighty God. Back in John 17, verse 15, Jesus was not asking God to take his disciples out of the world, his followers, but rather God would keep them from the evil. And you know, that's still the heart cry of Christ today, that we would be faithful to God. He's at the right hand of God interceding for us. He's our lawyer. He's our advocate. And he wants to see us make it through. I believe that God wants, he desires to demonstrate his great power in our lives. There, as we live here in this world where there's so much corruption, so much sin, such a lighthearted view of evil, I believe God wants to show his mighty power in our lives, that the world can see that God is alive, that there is only one true God, the Almighty God. I believe God's desire for his people is that we are a living testimony of his power to set mankind free from the power of the devil. And beloved, God is still a miracle-working God. To change a sinner into a saint is a tremendous act of power. Only by the power of God can that take place. Verse 16 says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Yes, we are in the world, but we're not to be of the world. We're not, we understand the truth found in James 4 and verse 4, when it says that, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. How is it in our hearts this evening? Do we hanker after some of the things of this world? Maybe not everything, but some things that the world has to offer. You know, if it says here that, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. God in his great power is able to carry us through, to bring us through to victory, and all the way to the end of this life, even into eternity. God is able to keep us if we are willing to be kept. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Beginning reading at verse 29, reading through the end of the chapter. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brothers and sisters, do we rejoice in this like we should? The apostles wrote here that he was persuaded that nothing can separate us from the power of God. It goes along with what Jesus said, that no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. But you know what? We can separate ourselves from God. The devil can't separate us from God if we're willing to take God and really seek him and live for him. But we can choose to leave God. So that's the only power. God gives us the choice to serve him or to deny him. But you know, God wants to see a voluntary giving up of ourselves, a forced service. We can hardly say that, because something that's forced is not a real service. It might have the appearance of it, but God wants our hearts. He wants us to understand his power, what we can of it. We can never come to the end of it. But he wants us to know that he is the almighty God. He is the all-powerful God. And that as we submit our lives to him, that he is well able to take us through this journey of life, through the battles that we struggle with. And we can be more than conquerors. See, what does he say here? Verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conquerors. You know, it's one thing to conquer, but to conquer so tremendously, with such a tremendous victory. And that can be our portion if we are totally submitted to the will of God. I was impressed with what he speaks of here in verse 29. It says that God predestined that those that are his would be conformed to the image of Christ. You know, as we yield ourselves to the power of God, that's exactly what will happen. And God wants us to truly represent his son Jesus Christ here in this earth. You know, the term Christian, what does that mean? Like Christ. And so that's God's will for us, that we are living in that way. Results of being kept by the power of God. In John 17, there's oneness in Christ. There's oneness in Christ. There's verse 23. We see there's a faithful witness of God's saving power that the world might see. And in verse 24, we have the promise of a future dwelling with Christ. That Jesus' desire was that his followers would be with him, that they might see his glory. In John 14, Jesus said that in my Father's house are many mansions. And said, if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So as we are kept by the power of God, we have blessings in store that we can't even fathom. We enjoy so much the presence of God in our hearts, in the person of his Holy Spirit, even now. But to think of the fact that if we're faithful to God, if we allow his almighty power to work in us through Jesus Christ and through the work of the Holy Spirit, that someday we can see him face to face. We can see our Creator. We can see our Redeemer. We can praise him there around his throne forever and ever. May that just really grip our hearts this evening, that the power is there to live a victorious life. Jesus told his disciples just before he returned to heaven, in Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. And as we dedicate our lives to him, as we give our hearts fully to the Lord, then we can experience enough of that power, of all that power that Jesus spoke of, to keep us faithful until God sees fit to take us out of this world. We just rejoice in that this evening.